I never spill a drop, says he. He turned to the girl in the left seat. Did you spill drinking me? No, says she. I was drinking the bally gown, and I never spill a drop either, says she. Well, says he, in that case, it must be an inside job. So he went to the phone and he rang the girlfriend. He says, Stephanie, says he, I'm after having a bit of an accident. Could you bring me in a new pair of trousers? So she, where are you ringing from? Says he, I'm ringing from the waist down. Now, the following Friday, there was three lads. There was a lad from England, a lad from Ireland, and a lad from Scotland. And the three of them were having an old bit of a chat over there in the very same position. And after some time, they decided, after talking among themselves, that their wives were cheating on them, respectively. So they decided to go away, look for a bit of evidence, and they'd come back 3 weeks later and meet in the very same place, and they did. Back they came, sat there around the corner of the counter, and the Paddy Scotsman was first. He says, how did you get on, says he, and not too good, says he. My wife is going with a carpenter. How do you know, says the other two boys. He says, I found a carpenter's toolbox under the bed. I looked at the Englishman next to see, my wife is going with a butcher. How do you know, says the other two boys. He says, I found a butcher's apron under the bed. And they turned to the Paddy Irishman, how did you get on? Oh, he says, you think you're bad. And my wife is going with a horse. How do you know, says the other two boys. He says, didn't I find a jockey under the bed? Now there was another fella. Mickey Murphy was his name, and he was working down in the Bord na Mona, down round Boora. And begad, he was supporting his wife, his mother-in-law, and his granny. And in order to support them all, he had to work the three shifts every week. And he was getting very fed up of it. And he was talking about it at the tea break. And another fella said to him from Pulla, says he, sure, I'm supporting, says he, my wife, my mother-in-law, and me two grannies, says he, and I only do the two shifts. And how do you manage that, says the other lad, says he, sure, the women go out on a Friday night to the red light district of Athlone, across the bridge. The other side of the bridge, Andrew. In order to subsidise his wages, why can't he do the same? Well, home he went and he asked the girls, he told them the story, says he, would ye go out to the red light district of Athlone next Friday night in order for to subsidise my wages? Says they, we will, and they did. Home he came the following Friday night and all the women were out, across the bridge. And begad, the wife came in at 12:30 and she counted out 30 euros. Says he, very good. The mother-in-law came in at 2:30 and she counted out 60 euros. Says he, twice as good. And they got very worried when the granny didn't arrive home until 5 a.m. And they were all waiting up for her, and she came in and she counted out at length 90 euros and 50 cents. And he all says, that's absolutely brilliant, but what may an old devil give you the 50 cents? Oh, says she, all of them. There was another time, a cousin of Mickey Murphy, Johnny Murphy was his name, and didn't he go off out to India on his holidays? And he was out there on a Sunday, and wasn't he caught by the Indians? A very sore place to get caught. But we got the chief met him anyway, and he was going to throw him into a pot and bile him and eat him. But when he heard he was from Clonown, he said, the last lad we had from Clonown in the pot ate all the potatoes. So we'll give you three trials, and if you survive the three trials, we'll let you away scot-free, the chief. Now, says the chief, says he, the first test, says he, you have to drink a gallon of Zulu water, is twice as strong as the poutine ye have over there, says he. And after that, if you survive that, says he, there's a lion in a den with a loose tooth, you have to go in, pull the lion's loose tooth. And, says he, if you survive that, to see there's big
Rosie
up in the teepee in the top of the hill, and she's 48 stone weight in her stocking feet, and you'll have to satisfy her. Right, so he gave me the Zulu water and he drank it down in a couple of goes, and he fell out of the tent he was in, and he fell into the lion's den, and there was skin and hair and all sorts of things flying for about 25 and a half minutes, and he crawled up out of the den, and he says, right, says he, where's the woman that wanted her tooth pulled? A couple of months before that, in the very same forest, there was a whole lot of cannibals out there. And we got this particular cannibal and his son were out for a bit of a hunt on a Sunday morning. And they were out going through the forest, and the next thing didn't they see a gorgeous looking girl with not a stitch of clothes on her. And they looked her up and down. And we got the next thing the young lad says, Daddy, says he, will we kill her and eat her? And the father looked her up and down again and says he, we'll bring her home and we'll eat your mother. And the following week, Paddy and Mickey were out for a bit of a jog in the same forest, and they were out jogging through the forest, and the next thing didn't one of them look back, and he seen a big ferocious lion coming after them. And he tapped the other lad in the shoulders and said, there's a big ferocious lion coming after us at high speeds. And because his friend Mickey did nothing but put his hand back into his rucksack as he was still running along fairly lively, and he took out a pair of gas-filled Nike runners. And he was still hopping at high speed, and he was putting on one at a time and then the other one, and his good friend says to him, surely, says he, Mickey, you don't think you'll outrun the line with them Nike gas-filled runners? No, says he, boy, I'll outrun you. Thank you.